Our reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. Let us listen for the word of God. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
I'd like to take a minute this morning to introduce to you Reverend Kevin Wright. Kevin joins our staff this week as our Director of Social Justice Ministries, our staff person in the area of mission and social justice. There's some information about him inside of the focus. Kevin grew up in Chicago. Any Chicago people here? Got some Chicago people. His dad was a pastor in Chicago. He attended a fairly decent seminary in North Carolina. Do we have any Duke graduates in the congregation? Got some Duke graduates in the congregation. Has served for the last 4 years as minister of mission at Myers Park United Methodist Church, a great church in Charlotte, North Carolina. So he joins our staff. I need to say that I was present for the final rounds of interviews as we made this decision. In the interviews, I mostly sit and listen. While I was listening to the team interview Kevin, I had a really strong sense of the presence of the Spirit of God in the room. So I'm very, very grateful to the whole process, to the whole selection process, and for those who helped to make this decision. And so I encourage you to keep Kevin in your prayers. The beginning of a new ministry is always very, very stressful. At least it was always for me. So we'd like you to especially keep Kevin in your prayers during his first months here with us. And so please welcome Reverend Kevin Wright to our congregation. Kevin, it's great to have you here. We do not live our lives on earth in this lifetime in eternity. There are those who have been teaching that eternity begins during this lifetime and that when we have a relationship with God, we experience eternity. And I guess that's true in a sense. But I really believe that we do not live this lifetime in eternity. We live this lifetime in time. All of our life takes place here on earth in times and seasons. Just about the only constant that we are promised in this lifetime is change. We can be positively sure that tomorrow will not be the same as today. The only guarantee that we are given is change. Now, I believe that the purpose of change is to give each and every one of us the opportunity to grow. Change is always an opportunity to grow, to become smarter, to become wiser, to become better. God created a world characterized by change, by evolution, by revolution, so that we would not live stagnant lives, but so that we would always be growing until the day we die. And my personal plan is to keep growing even after that happens. Nothing can happen to us, no change can happen in our lives that is not an opportunity for growth. Every change in life is an opportunity for us to grow. No success is really a success unless we grow as a result of it. A success which does not lead to new growth is not a success. No victory is really a victory unless we grow as a result of it. No failure is really a failure if we grow as a result of the experience. No loss is really a loss if we respond to the loss by growing from it. So I want to talk today about what I find to be a fascinating idea that the Apostle Paul teaches about growth and about seasons and times in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is a passage of Scripture that I hear a lot, because I hear it at about two-thirds of the weddings that I perform. And in some ways, this passage seems clear and direct. But there are other parts of it that are really quite complex and thick, and that require some thought and study. In the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about three important qualities of life. He talks about faith, hope, and love. Each of these are important to living a full life. Each of these are important in our lives as followers of Jesus. Faith, hope, and love. However, only one of these three is eternal. Only one of these three never ends. Only one of these three never fails. Faith is very important in our lives. The book of Hebrews says that without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, we cannot please God. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love us if we don't have faith. But God is really pleased, according to the book of Hebrews, by our faith. Faith is to believe and trust that God is active in creation and in history, in our human history, and that God is at work in history, pushing and guiding and motivating and encouraging and evolving and revolutionizing, that God is active in creation and human history, drawing us toward a world of justice, inclusion, and peace. To have faith is to believe that God is present in our world and is active in history. And in a very personal sense, faith is to believe that God is present and active in our lives, in my life, in your life. That God is using us as instruments to help build and create the world that God envisions and longs for us. So that our lives, which sometimes feel ordinary to us, our lives actually, in our participation in what God is trying to do in the world, our lives actually become part of the kingdom of God and have eternal meaning and value, that our lives are celebrated eternally. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God unless we are willing to trust that God is working in our world on behalf of the kingdom of God. It is impossible to please God. So faith is very, very important, but faith, according to the Apostle Paul, is not eternal. Faith is important, but it is not eternal. Faith is seasonal. We will have seasons in our life when our faith is strong, and we will have seasons in our life where our faith will be weak and puny. Faith is seasonal. The way the Apostle Paul says it is that we know that faith is not eternal because there will come a time when we will not need to have faith because we will know everything fully. You don't have to believe and trust if you have perfect knowledge. So there will come a time when faith will fade away. Faith ebbs and wanes if we are normal. It is seasonal. Times of doubt and difficulty in trusting God and trusting in God's presence in our world and in our lives are actually important seasons for us because they lead to growth, to our spiritual growth. Faith is seasonal in our lives. Faith is also seasonal in human history. There are seasons in human history where faith is strong, and there are seasons in human history where faith becomes weak. It's very interesting in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Samuel, when the writer is describing the early life of Samuel, who is later to become a prophet, when Samuel is a student under the priest Eli. The book of 1 Samuel says at that particular time in history, the word of God was rare in those days and visions were not widespread. The prophet Amos prophesies a time that is coming where there will be a famine and a drought, but he says it is not a famine of bread or a drought of water, but a famine and drought of hearing the words of the Lord. There are seasons in history where we tend to become cynical and our faith weakens, not only as individuals, but as people. And there's actually a wonderful book by historian and poet Jennifer Michael Hecht entitled Doubt, a History. She writes a history of doubt in which she argues that there has been no deepening of religious and theological understanding that did not come as the result of a season when faith was weak, a time of doubt. All reformation, all new learning about things religious and theological come as a result of a season of doubt in our own personal lives and in the world. Faith is seasonal. It is meant to be seasonal because faith becomes facile and childish if it is not tested by doubt. Faith is important but not eternal. It's seasonal for the sake of our spiritual growth, for our growth in faith. Second quality of the Christian life that the Apostle Paul talks about is hope, and he says hope is important. Hope is very similar to faith. Faith is the content of what we hope for. We believe in a God who loves us and who is at work in history in our lives on behalf of a world of justice, inclusion, and peace where we can all thrive. That's faith. Hope is the act of investing ourselves in that world, in that kingdom of God, which we cannot yet see. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul says that hope that is seen is not hope. If we can see it, then it's not hope. Hope is when we invest ourselves in what we cannot see, but through faith believe that God is doing in the world, the kingdom that God is guiding and motivating us and drawing us into. Hope is to invest ourselves into a future and a world that we cannot see yet. So, faith is important, not eternal. It's seasonal. Hope is important. Hope is even essential, but hope is not eternal either. Hope is seasonal. We will have seasons in our life when hoping is easy. We wake up in the morning hopeful, full of energy for life and for the work that we have been given to do and the difference that we've been called to make. And we just feel hopeful. And then there will be other seasons where hope is very difficult. And it's very difficult to believe that the world is changing. It's very difficult to believe that things really are getting better. It's really difficult to believe that God is at work in the world, that a new kingdom is coming. There's a very troubling passage in the book of 2 Kings when Israel is going through a difficult time. They're actually under siege by an enemy, and no food is able to get into the city. And they run out of food, and the king of Israel discovers that because they are so hungry, they're starving, that the people have turned to cannibalism. And the king of Israel goes to the prophet Elisha and says to the prophet Elisha, "Why should I hope in the Lord any longer?" And there come times in our lives when things happen to us that are so difficult, that so challenge the underpinnings of what we believe in and the way we think life should be, and the way we think the world should be, and the way we think people should treat one another. Things happen that are God-awful. And we go through seasons where we say to ourselves, "Why should I hope in the Lord any longer?" There are times when hope is hard and rare if we are normal. There will be times of near hopelessness in our life, because hope, like faith, is not eternal. It is seasonal. There will be times when our hope is high and times when our hope is weak. Faith is important, but seasonal, not eternal. Hope is important, but seasonal, not eternal. The Apostle Paul teaches this because of the next point that he wants to make in 1 Corinthians 13. The next and the final point he wants to make in this chapter is that love is different from faith and hope. Love never ends. Love is eternal. Love never fails. Love is not seasonal. Love is required of us in season and out of season. Love is greater than faith and hope. Love is required of us whether we feel like loving or not. Love is not seasonal. Now, it is true that there are times when love is easier than other times. It is true that there are seasons when it is hard to love. But the Apostle Paul says that love is always possible and always required of us. Love never ends. Love is eternal. Love never fails. The Apostle Paul is writing this to the church at Corinth, which was a very conflicted, divided. It was a congregation that was in the middle of a big congregational fight. It's a congregation where everybody thought that they could hear the Word of God directly themselves, and that they had the absolute corner on God's truth. There weren't many grays in this community. There were a lot of differences of opinion, but there weren't many people who were open to the possibility that other people might know something as much as they knew. Members of the church at Corinth were competitive and they were arrogant. Those with a strong faith disdained those who doubted. Those who had a strong sense of hope looked down on those who struggled with hope. The Apostle Paul says, you know, a lot of things will change. A lot of things ought to change. There'll be seasons of faith, seasons of doubt. Faith and hope do not make you superior. But love needs to be constant, in and out of season. You know, you can have doubt and still grow. You can go through a time of struggle and near hopelessness and still grow. You or I can never grow as a result of hate. Hate never leads to growth. Matter of fact, hate blocks growth, because growth always happens in community and hate separates us from community. Growth always happens through an encounter with the other, and hate separates us from another. Some of us are preparing to go to General Conference of the United Methodist Church over the next couple weeks. Some of us will be leaving this week. Dawn and Matt and some others are going this week. I'm going to stay in town this week and be here for worship next Sunday morning. And then I'll be leaving for the second week of General Conference. Kevin Wright will be preaching next Sunday at our 5:30 service, by the way, as I'm on my way to Tampa. Matt Mustard told me today that out of all of the volunteers coming to be part of the common witness for a more just and inclusive church, one-fifth are coming from Foundry. One-fifth of all the volunteers are coming from this one congregation. General Conference will be an interesting test for some of us because there will be hate present at General Conference. Those of us who go there, those of us who pay attention, those of us who watch sessions on the internet, we will encounter hate at General Conference. And the big question is whether hate is going to infect us or not. General Conference will be a test. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For, Jesus says, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have?" See? If you only love those who love you, you're not going to grow. See? If you and I only love those people who love us, no growth happens. If we return hate for hate, we don't grow. And our life as followers of Jesus is all about growth. It's all about growth till the day we die. And then to grow still. So General Conference will be an interesting test for us. And actually, all of life is an interesting test for us. Because all of us in life will encounter hate somewhere or another. And there are people that each and every one of us will want to hate back. There are people who have done things in our world and in our lives that we will want to hate. People who stand for things that we will want to hate. And hate always closes us down. So we cannot learn, and we cannot grow, and we cannot become wiser, and we cannot become better. All of life actually is an interesting test for us. When we go through a season of doubt, we can say to ourselves, great, this is a season of doubt, and I know that if I live through this season of doubt, that I will come into another season, and as a result of this, my faith will not be so simplistic as it has been. My faith will become deeper and more profound. We can go through a season of struggle or suffering, and we can say to ourselves, great, great. This is a great thing. I'm glad that my hope isn't as giddy as it used to be. Because I can't see much about tomorrow, but hope isn't about what I can see. Hope is about what I will invest myself even when I can't see. So I'm really grateful for this season of struggle, because I know I'll come out of this with a stronger hope. But when we are tempted to hate, we can never say that, because hate never has any consequence, any result that makes us better or makes the world better. Hate never helps. Hate never helps. Hate never makes anything better. And so when we are tempted to hate, we can only say there will be no good from this. Love is eternal. Love is eternal. Love is not seasonal. Love does not fail. Love will not fail us if we choose to love. If we choose to listen. If we choose to stay in community and communication with people who we think do not honor us. As damn hard as it is, not returning hate for hate, but returning love for hate, is the only way that we will grow into the kingdom of God. Love is not seasonal. Love is eternal. Love never ends. And love never fails.